What then is...
Amen. Please be seated. This is God's Word. It's amazing. So I'm going to share with you that I think a lot of us know that there are some misconceptions out there in the world. I think there's a lot of, you know, non-truth, false notions, but also misconceptions that we kind of fell into ourselves or believe in. And I'm going to share with you some of those misconceptions are, and some of you will recognize these misconceptions. For first of all, did you know that the Chinese cookie did not originate in China? No, it did not originate in China. It originated in Japan. And in China, they don't even have the Chinese cookie. They don't have a little cookie at the end with a little slip of paper in it. So that's a misconception. Another misconception, which one of my favorite teams is the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings did not wear horns on their helmets. There was never a recorded situation where a Viking wore horns, but we think Vikings wear horns. You know, it actually came from an opera. Someone picked it up. There was this person in the opera that had horns on her helmet or something like that, and they kind of thought, well, that's what a Viking looks like. The Great Wall of China is not the only human man-made object visible from space. Now, you need to know that wall, the China Wall, it is barely seen even from a satellite. But one thing that is seen on a constant basis that is man-made, and what happens at night? Light. So all over the world at nighttime, you could see lights, city lights and things like that, just light up, and they could see it from a satellite. Did you know that Napoleon was not short? Everyone thought he was short. Well, see, the French and the English used their measurement differently. And in France, 5'2" was actually 5'7". And that was considered to be a little above average height for a Frenchman. So consider that. And the one that we get wrong a lot of times, there were no such thing as three kings around Christmas time. I think you probably heard that more and more every time, is that there weren't these three magi. They basically sat back and looked at the articles that were brought by the magi, thinking there were three separate kings. And so that's a misconception. But one of the conceptions that has really fed into the church, and it's something that I have witnessed throughout my life as a pastor, and it's just a brother in Christ, is that some people, a lot of people believe that they can't really do efficient, effective ministry unless they are a full-time minister at church. Either they're a pastor, they're a missionary, they're a youth director, they're in a parachurch organization doing something, and they feel like they can't be an effective minister unless they are in those positions of vocation. So they believe that somehow that is the place where you need to be, and that sort of many times people feel that they're not really effective ministers. Matter of fact, they struggle with their value in their workplace. They struggle with their value in their home place. And they're asking God, you know, I don't feel like an effective ministry. I don't feel like I'm doing something for the kingdom of God. And it's one of the greatest misconceptions we have out there. You don't have to be in a paid position at church. That is a called position. So we will find out, as we look at this, there is a thing called, what we call as the fivefold ministry. And those are five called positions, but there's another called positions too, like the ruling elder is a called position. So let's take a look at these. And Paul has written both of those letters, and he has given us a good idea how things work together in a church. So in the first one, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Really important, okay? The apostles was obviously somebody that was called by Jesus Christ. We know the first set of apostles. And Paul was also called an apostle. He called himself an apostle. But also we see that there's that continuing office throughout the world, throughout the history, that there are people that are called apostles. And remember what apostles do. What apostles do. They go out and establish churches. And they get out there and they establish a church and they go ahead and they take care of the church. And many times missionaries are called apostles because that's what they do. They go into foreign fields and they establish churches and they oversee those churches. Now, some are prophets, and a prophet basically is a person who speaks God's word. But the office of a prophet is more powerful. I mean, they come in these situations, and they basically very clearly say, this is God's word. You rarely ever see them, and all prophets are scrutinized, but they come in, and they go into the situation, and they just flatly say, this is what's happening. This is what God is saying here. There's also evangelists. Now, we're all called to be evangelists, but some people do have that call to be evangelists. And one of the greatest evangelists, as you know, is, again, another of my hero, not because he was an evangelist, because his integrity, because of his humanity, his humility, was Billy Graham, an amazing evangelist. But there's still people out there that have the call of evangelists, and they go out throughout churches, throughout the community, throughout the kingdom, and they're invited in to have an evangelistic message. And then here's a word that we kind of interchange is called shepherd pastor. In the Greek, you take that Greek word and you can either call it a pastor or a shepherd. And it's really important to know because shepherds are also called. A pastor is called. And sometimes we confuse that a shepherd really is a person who is shepherding the sheep, God's sheep at a church. It's a relational thing. It's something where there's tremendous care, so we've got to remind ourselves. And some people are called to be teachers. We have professors at who teach God's word, who teach the kingdom of God, as well as we have teachers within the church who are called to be teachers, from adult Sunday school teachers to younger Sunday school teachers. They are called to be teachers. But what's really interesting about these called positions, and we believe this very clearly, is that they are to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up the body of Christ. So these five called ministries are doing one thing. We are equipping everybody to realize that you are ministers of God's grace, you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are to go out into the world because you're the ones that are going to bring people to the church. You're the ones it's going to touch people's lives. You're going to be the conduit that they will witness. They go, wow, I like you. You're there. You pray with me. You have been there in my brokenness, and I want to be a part of your family. And that's what you're doing. You're inviting people to let them be a part of your family. And we know that what good family looks like and feels like. I think all of us here have some very positive, wonderful experiences and stories of how FPC here has been a great family to you. So we have that, but we have another passage. So we are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fivefold ministries are called people to prepare all of us to know that we are ministers, we are to go out in the world, but what do we do as ministers? What is our calling as ministers? And that's what I love about 1 Corinthians 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Very important concept. In fact, my very, very, very first sermon that I preached 21 months ago was we are farmers. And we have to understand so clearly that our mission is to plant seed. That we do that every time that we find ourselves in the world. Now, that's an important concept for all ministers, because we can get so frustrated because we always are looking for the results. But if we know that we are ministers of planting God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and watering through relationships, then we have phenomenal purpose. So this is just a very short sermon. We are called to be full-time ministers of the gospel. We're all called, every one of us. Not one of us is not called. We are called to be ministers, the fivefold ministry, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, evangelists, the apostles are there to teach us to know that we are to go in the world and we are full-time ministers. We're all called. Now, I'm going to stop here right now and I'm going to focus on that we are called. Now, rarely do you ever find in the last 10 years people feel called to be a pastor or a missionary. You don't have, I don't know when's the last time you've even heard of someone even saying that, I want to be a pastor. I feel called to be a pastor. I feel called to be a missionary. And it's really important to know that it is a call. It is a call because that call is the very thing that you hang on to when you're in the midst of your ministry. Now, that calling can take in so many different places, so many times in your life. And some of you are going saying, I'll never want to be called to be a pastor. There's no way I'm going to be called to be a missionary. Well, everyone that was called to be a pastor or missionary felt the same way. Most of us. Not one of us wanted to be a pastor. Who in their right mind would want to be a pastor? I mean, it is one of the greatest works in the world, but also it's one of the hardest things to do. And I'm going to tell you a story about my father-in-law, because he was a person in which God did a miracle in his life. He was in Annapolis. He was training to be an engineer. He was training to be a captain on a ship. That was his goal. He wanted to do that. And at the end of his, at the last year, something happened. See, if he would have graduated, he would have been commissioned. He went straight into the Navy, and eventually he would captain his own ship. Well, his eyes got bad. He became nearsighted. And he was not given a commission. So he was given the degree, but he was not given the commission. He was a Christian. He was going, God, what's going on? This is what I thought you want me to do. So instead, what happened is that, I don't know if you know anything about Navy and Army, they have a competition. They really don't like each other. I remember so many times that after the national anthem, this shocked me the first time he did it, he just yells out, beat Army! You're sitting there going, So there's this uniqueness about the Navy and the Army. Well, guess what happened right after he graduated from Annapolis? He got drafted in the Army. And he's in there going, God, in the Army of all the places. And for 6 months, he was a clerk typing away papers. God, why? Why'd you do this? Everything is upside down. So the war ended. He's out. Now he's working as an engineer in Erie, Pennsylvania, working for Genie for locomotives. He was actually helping with the locomotives, the engineering of the locomotives. And he was doing so well. My father-in-law is an introvert. He is a very smart person who loves numbers, everything like that. And there's no way he would ever, ever be called to become a pastor unless he was called. And he remembered very vividly one day he was in his bedroom, happy with life, just got married, working on his career and everything, and he had this visible presence in his life where God called him to be a pastor. And he just couldn't believe it, but he knew that this was real. It completely changed his life. Everything that he was working towards completely turned around because of that call. He said, that was the thing that brought me into becoming a pastor, as well as the very thing that sustained me when I was a pastor. That call is really important if you're called to be a pastor. And I want people here to know that God can call you to become a pastor. Just want you to know that. God can call you to become a missionary. God can call you to become an evangelist. You're never too old to do this. One of my dear friends passed away here a couple of years ago, and his wife, the children are gone. my friend's gone, and suddenly she felt a call to be a missionary. And right now, she is in Africa for the last 3 years, a missionary in this particular area, and she was called at the age of 60, 62. So you're never too late. But we do know that unless we're called, you just don't step into a position like this. You have to be called. It's an amazing position. Like I said before, being a pastor to me personally has been a wonderful blessing, but it's also the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I've done a lot of things. Okay, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. If it wasn't because of a call, and God reminding me of that call, many pastors would have given up. But see, that's a sweet thing. It's all rested on that call. And so I want you to pray about that. One day you might be in a worship service. One day you might be praying. One day, who knows what, suddenly you have this amazing conviction that God's in your presence and God speaks to your heart. He goes, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a teacher, a prophet, evangelist. Don't be surprised. It can happen. Don't be afraid of it either. But it can happen. And again, when I was first called to be a pastor, I said, no, God. I remember strongly he convicted me, and I said, no. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to stand in front of people. I'm not going to go to college. But God gently got after me for 2-3 months. He kept in my worship, in my prayer times, his Holy Spirit kept telling me, I've called you, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. Just respond to the call. And I did. And the neat thing is that in those tough times in my life, I've always referred and go back to that call. So God, this is so hard, but the call that you've given me, I know this is where you want me to be. So just be ready. Some of you may be called. It's a great thing. But let it be a call. Now, David has received that call. I don't know if you know this, but David is in the process of becoming a pastor. David Buher. There he is, back there. And being in a pastor and denomination is crazy hard. You just go, hey, I'm called to be a pastor. First of all, they want to make sure that David has the call, because they know exactly what happens with pastors and missionaries that think they have a call. So they truly scrutinize him. So they make him go through certain hoops. So I just want to let you know that David is almost at the end of that. He's about to finish with his ministry of, not D-men, but MDiv. He's going to be examined by our denomination. He's going to be scrutinized by psychologists. He's going to be training. He's going to be in a position where he's going to be examined by his peers. But one day, David knows he's called to be a pastor, and he's following that track. But it is an amazing thing, and only the call can put you there. Now, we need to shift just a little bit, because you're going, I'm not called to be a pastor or a missionary. But we do know that you're called. You're called to be in a position where you're at right now. See, that's what vocation is. Vocation is God calling you, providing you with the gifts, providing you with what you need to be in the position, whatever that be a teacher, whatever that be a banker, whatever that be a person who is running a business. God has called you to be in that position. God has also called us in different parts of our life. We're also called to be single. If you're single right now, you're called to be single. Then one day, God will call you to be a spouse. Then one day, God willing, will call you to have children. But those are callings. God puts you in a position to respond to those things. So right now, where you're at, right now, this very moment, is where God wants you to be. He wants you there. In school, he wants you there. And he wants us to know that in all those places, wherever we are, that was God's plan for you to be there. This is no accident that we're there at those positions in our life. And that because of that, God reminds us that we are to be ministers right there. right there in those places that we're at. That we don't have to wait for ministry. We don't have to be at a church for ministry. But God wants us to be ministers of God's grace and God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, right where you're at. You have purpose, you have direction, and you have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. Don't even think that you got there by yourself. Don't even think it was your direct master of your soul, captain of your ship, whatever that is, that you're there in that life. No, God brought you there, and God wants us to remind ourselves that we are to be ministers right there, and that it takes, that has tremendous purpose and also has tremendous direction. There are reasons for that. So what do I do with my ministry? What do I do at my school? What do I do in my work? Even being at home and being a parent at home is a calling. Raising children is an amazing calling. Raising grandchildren is an amazing calling. Having a spouse is an amazing calling. God wants us to understand the significance of those relationships, and we are to what? We are to minister God's grace, God's love, God's goodness in these people's lives. So that's where planting seed is very important. We're all called to be ministers of God. And one of the most valuable lessons I learned 30 years ago, because I was getting frustrated as a pastor, as an associate pastor, because I grew up that you have to have results. Results, results, results. You work hard, you play hard in basketball, you play hard, you do this, you play hard in construction, and you will have results. Work, 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 results. Well, the crazy thing that in ministry, all of us here, we sometimes see the results. Sometimes we see the results. And that's what Paul was telling us. He waters, plants, but God brings the results. When we do our job, when we understand that we have a purpose and place where we're at, that we are ministers of God's grace, and that we plant seed, water that God will bring results. Because I know that every time I encounter everybody in my life, I don't care where I'm at, I've learned long time ago, with my children, with my spouse, with people that are outside, people playing racquetball, people that I meet, that, you know, they're getting to know me at banks, I'm always out there watching football. You know, I know that every time I'm in their presence, I am planting seed. Good or bad, I'm planting seed. I know that I have purpose. In your lives, the same way. I know I can plant good seed, and I want that. I want God to use that to nurture your growth and your maturity. But it's active, it's purposeful, and it's awesome. So, just wrap it up. We are all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the exciting part. You know, just God chose us to come into this world. God formed us in our mother's womb. God knew exactly what our eyes were, our personality, knew our gifts, knew our sex, knew exactly how we're going to put, and he starts forming us, and he brings us into the world. He puts us with the families, whatever condition is, but also God rescues us and brings us into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. We believe as Reformation theologians that God chose us. We didn't choose God. God opened our eyes. He chose us as a part of his family, and he made us children. What an amazing gift. What a beautiful thing. And then he says, now I'm going to give you a purpose, and your purpose is to be ministers of my grace in every place you're at. What purpose? What? Gosh, that blows me away. I love preaching because I truly believe that God is using my words to plant. I don't sit up here getting frustrated. I get excited about preaching. I get excited about teaching because I truly believe that what I say when it comes to God's words is being planted and planted and planted. That excites me. That motivates me. And it's the same experience that God wants us to have as we are in our world doing whatever it is, coaching, school, teacher, student, work, whatever it is. God has us there. There's a reason for that. And God wants us to plant seed and water and allow us to see God's fruit to grow in that person's life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for these wonderful, vivid pictures of planting seed. And Father, I forgot. The very thing I forgot to do, oh, shoot. And I worked so hard at this. Can I have a couple of people? Joe, can I have you? Oh, golly. This is the perfect illustration, and I messed up on it. Pass this out. Brian, can you help me? Oh, can you help me? Pass these out. Golly. My staff worked so hard at this, and I completely forgot about them. So everyone's going to get a bag. Yeah, everyone gets a bag. And everyone will notice, if you can see it, there you got it. There is a little seed, or a couple little seeds in there. There you go. It's a mustard seed. So when I first got in the office here, there we go. When I first got in the office 21 months ago, on my desk was these mustard seeds. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, just sitting there. I had no idea. You know, and you taste one of these are pretty spicy. And then I have an opportunity now to use them. But again, the seed that you see there is so, 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 so small. But it has so, so, so much potential. And when it's watered, it will grow into a mustard plant. So it reminds us, this just takes one seed, takes two seeds, and that's all God wants us to do, is recognize that we are ministers of God's grace, God's goodness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we are to plant and water. And realize that it's one of the greatest things you can ever do in your life. Amen.
So for our closing song, and I'm saying this for the folks who are online, I've changed it up. We're actually going to do the normal, kind of normal, Amazing Grace. It's number 104 in your hymnals. You probably know it by memory. I suggest you go by memory if that's what you know it as. I'll probably change the chords up a little bit from what's in the hymn book, just to warn you. And please rise for the end of the song, end of the service here.